Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between the Sessions. We are coming to you from the beautiful Palm Beaches, Florida. Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals. It is presented by the Palm Beaches, and I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd.
And I'm your co-host, Kelly Cavers. Our mission is to inspire those in the business and events industry with new and innovative ideas and discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry in the U.S. and globally. Today, we're incredibly excited to have Maren Bright, the founder and CEO of Smart Meetings. Welcome, Maren.
Thank you.
To have you here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Great. Love to be part of Palm Beach. The worst part is I'm not there live.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself and just how you started in the meetings industry.
Yeah, so I started, I'm going to date myself here, back in the 80s, the early 80s. And, you know, I actually have a degree in psychology and communications. And, you know, I started to go the route of years and years and years to be a therapist. And then the thought of sitting in a room listening to people's problems all day when I could go work at a hotel and listen to multiple people's problems at every 15 minute. No, I'm kidding. My sister said to me, you're really, really good at lunch. And I thought, you know, you're right. Lunch has been my specialty. So you should go to work for a hotel. And I was like, you know, hotels pay you to do lunch. So that's what I did. I went to work for Hyatt, and then I went to Mandarin, and then I finished off my career at the Four Seasons when the earthquake hit in San Francisco. And my other degree was in journalism and communications. And I thought, I am going to go work with, I loved hotels, everything about hotels, love. I mean, I go and look at hotels when I'm on vacation. I am obsessed with hotels. So I wanted to serve multiple hotels. So I went to work for magazines and journalism. And I worked for a number of San Francisco magazine out of the shoot. And that was great. And then I went over to a company that's now called North Star, but back then it was not. It's a big publishing company. And I started with a magazine called Meeting News and Business Travel and Successful Meetings and sold all of those. And then I left there and started a little magazine called, well, now it's called Meetings Today, but I was there when I started it. It was Meetings California, and I was there for 10 years, and I grew Meetings West, Meetings South, Meetings East, and did all of that. And then 9/11 hit, and during that time, and you know, my parents were both entrepreneurs, so they had always instilled in me, you know, you work it like you own it. And I did that. And people used to say to me all the time, do you own this company? And I would think, oh, they must be telling me something, as I was in the ceiling hooking up the phone system thinking, you know, I'm probably not paid to do this. This is not a publisher job. And then lo and behold, I went off, and after 9/11, kind of a Jerry Maguire story, but I started Smart Meetings.
You know, in the sound check, Maren, we were, you and Kelly were talking about how you had recently had an event here in the Palm Beaches. And I just want to briefly touch on that because there was a helicopter involved and I need to know more about this.
Oh my God. The helicopter was the best Palm Beaches idea, I have to say. And coming in, talk about a grand arrival, right? All the guests out there having a lovely time at the party. The worst part was I wasn't the first to the bar. That really, you know, was upsetting. But there it was up in the helicopter, and I got this grand view of Palm Beach, and then everybody who had registered put their name on a ball, and then I tossed them from the helicopter, and the one that landed closest to the ball won $150 from Palm Beaches. So, and then we landed, and out we came, and I ran to the bar because I have a fear of heights, and I had no idea I was going to be up there without a door. There was no door. So I was like blowing. And the whole time I was up there, I thought I could get sucked right up into that. Anyway, no, it was very exhilarating. And what a way. And now the pressure's on. What are we going to do next? I'm going to have to scuba dive, and I don't know.
Right. You said jet skis earlier.
Jet skis. I'll be jet skiing in.
Right.
Yeah. Lots of fun, though. That was a great event.
We're very fortunate. We were very fortunate to be able to host one of the Smart Meetings events. You know, when you started Smart Meetings, did you always have it as a vision that you're going to have a magazine and events, or how did that evolve?
Yeah, so I had been in a lot of magazines, and B2B tends to be not as glamorous as consumer per se, in that the layout, it's more of considered more of a tool, more of a working magazine, and the pictures don't have to quite be in focus. And I thought, wait a second, when I started Smart Meetings, I wanted to go to a consumer-esque magazine, and I wanted to take it to a new level. So I actually hired Alan Alpanian, who's quite famous magazine designer. He designed Harper's Bazaar. And we really broke the mold and started a magazine that was coffee table worthy. And that was really raising the bar. Nobody could touch us. We started that, boy, it's been 22 years now. And no, I was actually planning on being a publisher. And back then, you had a magazine and you had a website, and the website kind of mirrored the magazine. And then they always talk to you about, in publishing, you've got to have a trade show. But I'm entrepreneurial, and I that would be a lot of heavy lifting for me. And I went to the Del Coronado. I was invited on this press thing. It was actually from a company based in Florida that used to have Islands Magazine. It was called The Great Resort Show. And they were doing these one-on-one appointments. And I attended that, and I thought, aha, I could do that. And so I came back, and nobody was doing it. No IMAX. There was nobody was doing it in our space. And I thought, that is my model. And then right about that time, the recession hit. It was 2008. And if you recall, Newsweek and Time and every magazine just about buckled, many of them did. And we soared. We had the best 3 years ever. I think part of it was having to do with hotels were empty and really needed. And these events were a great venue. Meetings. It was an efficient way. We were really out there on our own. We had huge events. We had competitors hiding in the bushes, checking to see what we were doing. We were really pioneers and innovating the way. And also that saved the magazine, because in order to attend the events, we had it. One of my brilliant salespeople came up with this idea, Ginny Pullman, that you had to buy an ad in the magazine to attend the event. So our print soared and our event took off when publications were going bust left, right, and center. And that just was, the timing could not have been better. 2008, 2009. Stellar to this year, stellar years.
That's wow. Great. You know, I've been really fortunate. You know, you have always been a thought leader, an innovator, a visionary. And I've been fortunate because I was able to attend what I would say is a very innovative event called Smart Women in Meetings Summit that was held up in New York this past summer. And can you tell us a little bit more about the event? Because I really feel it is something special that is not out there.
Yeah, women. So for me, I've been in this industry a long time. I also happen to have gone to an all-women's college. I went to an all-women's high school, boarding school. And then my mother was an entrepreneur. She was way ahead of her time. She was, you know, had an eclectic background. You know, those days, women were secretaries or teachers. And she ended up being a secretary at she was, you know, all the women thing, a model, you know, model teacher, secretary, nurse. And she was adamant that I was not going to fall into that. And women really, wasn't that long ago that women, there was no, when I started in publishing, I was the only woman publisher. There was no peers. There was one other woman that was kind of a mini man. So for me, women and forwarding women, I was raised with that. We had ERA signs. My mother went from secretary to a sheriff and was real. I preached it day in and day out. You can do anything you want. women need to get ahead. She was very much on the forefront. So, of course, looking at our industry and being all women and having been in this for a very long time, I could see that most of the men were at the top. That, you know, it tends to be, statistics will show that the higher the money, the more male dominated the gender is in that role. So I came out with this idea of Smart Woman. I actually started it for the very first time in Florida. My first one was 9 years ago, and it was at the Trump Doral. Long before he ran for president, I used to go to that spa when it was Doral Saturnia. Anyway, and we had 16 people in a private room sitting around, and I'd come up with this, the speakers and the idea and the whole thing. And then the next year we grew, and then we ended up in Chicago on the river at the Wyndham at the beautiful day. It was filmed the Batcave. And Batman, and it took off. And I would say this last one in New York really sealed the deal. And I've got a wonderful editor, JT Long, who embraced it. We have led the way in that. The whole idea, my whole motivation for that was to have women come together to support each other and to educate them about things that we aren't normally educated about. And I picked some hard topics that women are known, I hate to be stereotypical, but women are known for self-deprecating, learning how to really negotiate. That was big for me. So I had speakers on negotiation for women, and certainly good in business, but good in life as well. And, you know, topics of inspiration and meat of how to get ahead in your career and how to start getting women accelerated more to the top. And I have to say, since in that 9 year time, boy, it's changed. I mean, women are really sitting in higher and higher, and those numbers have gone up, and I'm thrilled to be a part of that. And again, we still use that as a model, accelerating. It's become a very club, a VIP network where women come. You probably sense that in Palm Beach, the emotional connections and the support, which was what we always wanted, really came out at that event.
So it's an award ceremony, correct?
It is. It has become an award. It was in the magazine. It was, you could nominate a woman, your peer, your boss, whoever, nominate a woman that you felt was doing, accelerating in whatever level they were in their career. And we always carried it very heavily in the magazine, and then it grew into the awards. Yes. And now it is a full on award ceremony. This year it was over at the Edison. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I can speak from my experience, but it's really like a holistic approach for women to come together. And whether you're learning from the speaker or you're learning because there is a comfort zone to share amongst one another, to uplift, to a gifting experience that they had. And the gifts that you bring in are essential body wear, Vionic shoes, things that we use in our day-to-day work environment. This just makes you feel better and uplifts you. So it's a really neat experience. And I thank you for creating that, because you've really, you know, uplifted many of us and inspire many of us.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I have to say, Dr. Romy came out with, "I hear you, I see you, I got you." That could be our mantra. And that resonated so deeply with so many women. And when we had our lunch where we had our groups and we put our heads together, the emotion in that room and the connections were really, really meaningful.
Where do you see this event going next year?
Bigger, 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 better, 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 always, always. You know, I think we've really created something big. We have a lot of cities that are vying to host, wanting to be affiliated with this cause. You'll see more women events coming about, but I've heard from many that not quite touching and moving at this level. The speakers are curated with that emotional connection in mind and getting things that, you know, getting things, information to women that they might not get other places. And we just want to grow. And I think there's a lot of women out there that want to participate and be a part of this. So the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit.
Give us an example of some of your speakers and why they had that emotional connection.
Yeah, we had Dr. Romy, and she's a neurologist, and she really, her specialty or what she spoke about was sleep, but it was bigger than that, in that your busy brain, quieting your busy brain. And, you know, as women, I always noticed, you know, I'm recently divorced, but I was married for 30 years. My ex-husband could fall asleep on a dime and snoring in 10 minutes on the couch. And my busy brain was running around. And I used to think that it was because of him that I was busier, because he was resting. But now that he's not there, I find that I'm still busy. So damn it, it's not his fault. But busy brains are hard to get out of. And I think it's a female kind of amygdala thing. So she was great. And then I had a personal favorite, Michelle Rourke, who I had speak for me at another event a long time ago. Very interesting topic on the power of smell. And it's not something, it's hugely powerful, but people don't know it. And it's going to become more and more influential. They've just discovered that smells can ward off Alzheimer's, which means a lot to me because my mother passed and had Alzheimer's. And she talked about being an Olympian and being able to tone into her power through, you know, if you visualize and you can affirm it and you can do all of these things that athletes or anybody really who wants to excel, that goal-oriented, but the smelling, you know, being able to get something into all your senses is what enables you to actually make it so. And the smell is very difficult. So she really brought that science to us. She's a chemist. I mean, she's amazing, graduated from Colorado School of Mines. And so that was really fun and a lot of science there. And then we ended this one with Michelle Assad, who was a CIA agent, and it was about body language. But I have to say, in the past, we did Losing Sight of the Shore with a Hollywood film producer that moved. There was not a dry eye in the place in Chicago. We've had the year before in Las Vegas, we had so many memorable speakers. I mean, it could go on and on. Really powerful stuff.
So what do you see as the future of smart meetings? There's a lot of innovations in the industry that you're looking to incorporate into the publications and events.
Yeah, well, you know, AI is coming down the pike. There's certainly going to be some of that in here for us. It's going to be a very interesting day to see how that plays out. And I'm, you know, all of us have our finger on the pulse with that. We still think, though, that there is a secret sauce to being on from the writing standpoint in the magazine, to actually go there and experience and taste it and put that and give that opportunity to a reader that's not AI. So that we feel is still an important part of what we do. But from an event standpoint, experiences are all about, people are all about experiencing. I think that's what came out of COVID. Everybody was locked in their house, and now they, you know, they bought stuff and they had their Amazon boxes delivered, and now they want to get out and go and they want an experience. But they not only want an experience, they want a meaningful experience. They want an extraordinary experience. We actually just are coming out with our branding for next year, and we're going to be calling it Experience the Extraordinary. And so, and here's the other thing. I think that people really want to belong. We were separated for a long time. We didn't value our connections as much as we value them now. And I think events can really tap into that and really play on that. And that sense of belonging and being able to give people those, you know, people want behind the curtain. They want authenticity. they want to, they may want to go to a basketball game, but they really want to go with Steph Curry's wife. And she's got a restaurant and they want to eat at a restaurant before they go. Those are the kinds of things that people are looking to do now. They don't want to just skim the surface. They want to go in, they want to touch it, they want to feel it, they want to be able to talk about it, they want to be moved by it. And we at Smart Meetings are all about that and continuing to up that ante so that when people come to our events, they know they belong here, which is going to be huge, and that they're going to have those kind of real experiences that will be, I like to think, life-changing.
Well, that leads us perfectly to our next question, which is, you know, the name of this podcast, Between the Sessions. And so what has been your favorite memory or activity or experience that's happened between the sessions?
Well, the helicopter, of course. I would be in trouble with Palm Beach if I didn't say that. You know, we've had, and that one really is a highlight without a doubt, but we've had some amazing. We did a race on the America's Cup in San Diego. Oh my gosh, we lived with ghosts at the Stanley where they filmed The Shining. We were at the W in Hollywood while Jennifer Aniston was getting her star out front. We have given folks, so we did the Rock of the Century where we all became rock bands. And then that night we had the band play, the winner play at our party. We were at La Costa in San Diego, and both groups on both sides of the fence stopped. Everybody was watching us because the band was so, the guy was dressed up. They thought the people were the real people. We've had a lot of fun, meaningful opportunities and ways for people to connect. We were the first people, we go to stadiums. We were at Levi Stadium before, a week before the Super Bowl was in San Francisco. Oh, I love, we were at the Dallas Star. That was a beautiful place for our event. But no one was allowed to take a picture of the field because it was top secret, right? They're going to the Super Bowl. And what is I think it was a hotelier goes over. I mean, Armageddon happened when that camera came out and there was security that popped out from behind the bushes and made her delete that picture. And I mean, it's been, you know, from the little things to the, it's, you know, you never know what you're going to get, but we really like to surprise and to wow people. And we intend to continue to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I either want to like go to one of your events or just come hang out with you.
Well, you're welcome. We'd love to have you anytime. Absolutely. Come. Yeah. That'll be required, you know, Kelly.
It's really, you know, you've said it throughout, but how you elevate the experiences, they're not just memorable, they're meaningful. And I think because they're meaningful, organically, there is a sense of belonging that everyone feels that makes it really comfortable. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, mission accomplished. That's our goal.
So we always ask our guests at the end of the show, it's called swag, which, you know, typically means stuff we all get. But our swag is a little bit different because it's a piece of advice or a tip that you would like to give our audience. So what's one piece of advice or tip that you would tell people? And keep in mind that our listeners are mostly like event planners and they're in the meetings industry. So what would be your advice?
You know, I would say push your boundaries, go for, you know, things that you might not think are doable. We are always like, why not? Let's do it. Of course. I think that, you know, so many people like to play it safe and this is not a time to do that and to really, up your ante, and you'd be amazed, I would say, to the event world, how much you can get for, you might think you can't afford it or whatever, but people with partnerships and ability to be a part of whatever you're doing, that you could ask, and I would go for the big ask. That would be my swag. Put lots of essential body wear and some of those Vionic shoes in there and swag it up, girls or guys, dudes, everybody, peoples.
Let's throw caution to the wind. Throw balls out of a helicopter.
Absolutely. I think that people want that. They want that to, you know, stand out, take a risk.
Yeah. I truly think for organizations like yourself, it's incredibly important that you experiment and you try those things, because that's where we learn and we're able to experiment with one another when we're in the industry. And then when you go back to your meeting, you can say, oh, I've already seen this happen and this is what we should do.
And you know what, Kelly, when COVID hit and everybody was staying in except for about 100 planners that came to the Broadmoor, we hosted an event right in the middle of COVID. We thought it was our obligation to mask up and get out there. We sent plexiglass. We had hand sanitizers. We had barriers. We put cushy chairs. We met outside. We had the food served by the servers. We had the boxes to go. And we felt like it was our obligation to show planners, because we didn't know if it was going to be that way the rest of our lives. I mean, we had to continue to meet. We had to continue to go out there and show people how to do it. And, you know, I think a lot of people came to our event. It was a great event. We played pickleball, except for those two guys that thought the mask counted if it didn't go over your nose. We had to be the mask police. Every time I turned around, I'm like, it's you again. But if it wasn't, people were looking at us like, I can do it. I can do it. And we had more planners than suppliers there. We did a hybrid. Lots of people were on virtual, but it worked. People came together. We felt renewed. We had great food and we wore masks and it worked. And so you got it. You just got to, you know, that's our goal. Give people the ideas and they get, and I love that. Yeah. Touch it and feel it and then go do it.
And see how we can take it back. Cause there was a lot of essential businesses that still need to meet. So for you to show how it could happen and what you could do, or maybe what you couldn't do,
right.
Which is great.
Which plexiglass does not ship well, by the way, don't do that. It was thousands of dollars showing up all broken.
So Marin, tell us how people can get in touch with you.
Oh, well, we are at smartmeetings.com. You can always reach me at marin@smartmeetings.com. And love to hear from you. Love your thoughts. Love your ideas. That's what it's all about.
Kelly, any other questions?
No, I just thank you for your time and your words of wisdom and advice. It's always fun to connect with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'll be back and I'll be coming in and I'm going to get one of those bigger helicopters next time and I'm going to learn how to catapult backwards. So hang on, sister. I'm coming.
Well, Marin, it's no doubt that you put on fun events because you are fun.
Well, thank you
so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. We thank you for tuning in, and you can check us out on LinkedIn at The Palm Beaches or on our website, thepalmbeaches.com/meetings. You can also do us a favor by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a glowing review. This is Between the Sessions.